two, and we'll take a roll call, starting with our treasurer.
Oh, Dennis Kubai, city treasurer.
Dan Carlberg, member.
Bob Colacott, council.
Joe McCarthy, member.
Bill Underwood, chair.
Bill Nelson, council.
Steve Frank, city manager.
Harold Hewitt, member.
Sheldon Herr, finance director.
So we do have a quorum. With that, Brad had called in this morning, had called in and said he could not make it, and I believe Lynn is on vacation in Maine.
Yes.
Pledge of Allegiance, we have a flag, so we don't have to use Dennis's shirt, so why don't we stand up and do that. And Dan, why don't you lead us?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have public comment, but we have no public, so other than ourselves, so we'll pass on that. We have a vacancy on the committee. What has worked? We've tried various ways in the past. We put out ads and notices, which I assume we'll still do, but what seems to work the best is if you know somebody in the city who is qualified and can work on this, please ask them. And even if you wonder if they're really qualified, go ahead and do it. So I'd like to say that everyone here would ask one person in the city about the investment advisory committee. That seems to be the most powerful one-on-one kind of a issue, and it also gets qualifications well. Would you relay that to Lynn and Brad, too, that
yes,
they
sir.
Have the, and Lynn's been real good about this in the past, with you sitting here, right?
Yes.
So let's do that. And that's, so this is July, so you can set your own time frame, but by October we'd like to have had somebody, a couple people already apply and be interviewed by our mayor and councilman on the finance committee. Thank you. Review and approval of the April minutes. Does everybody have a copy of that in their packet? And if so, would you take a look at it? It's called Summary Minutes, April 26th. With a quarterly committee, you have to refresh your I have to refresh my memory for what happened 3 months ago.
How about yesterday? I have a problem with that,
what
too.
What was breakfast this morning?
I move to approve.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved as presented. Portfolio balance and activity transactions. Michelle, you want to lead us through that?
Sure. This was the supplemental that I sent out on Friday that had the June treasurer's report on there, just because I hadn't got it done before I sent the rest of the information to you. So go ahead and grab one if you need one of those.
Did you only send that once?
Well, I sent out the mass tagment of the PARs and the investment policy on Monday.
Right.
And then I didn't finish the treasurer's report till Friday, so I sent that out just in an additional email.
Okay, so I have that one.
Right. Yes, you got that.
Okay.
So, just for reference purposes. First thing to mention is that we did, yesterday, we had our union CD. That was the CD that we opened with Will. Over.
We thought we will.
Well, he wasn't Will.
It wasn't
Will's people.
It was the guy who was from Egypt, I think, who got you into that to start with, a song gone.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Anyways, thankful that that CD is gone, and our plan that we discussed actually last June, in that meeting, or in the last July meeting, is that we're going to hold this $100,000. And we have another investment maturing in August, and then we'll lump them together, and I'll buy one in early August. So we should be getting that check.
So an update for those who have joined us since that period. In 2012, Union Bank had been very generous towards us and nice to us. We wanted to do something nice for them, buy a CD with them. We found out that the CD was really not from our local branch, but it was from down in Long Beach or some other alien country. And it was had become very difficult administratively to deal with, and gave Michelle some headache. So no good favor goes unpunished. So with that, and it's, you see that's a 1.39, started in July 12th. So with that, we'd also decided that we wanted to make things more administratively easy and start doing 200,000, is it 200,000 or 250?
Between 2 and 250.
As our frame of reference instead of 100,000, so we could manage those better. And so I believe the Goldman Sachs Bank certificate of deposit also comes due August 8th this year, both of them under 2%, and we'll combine those and make a 200,000 purchase or 250, whatever is on the market.
That is the plan.
Okay, thanks.
So if you want to go to, that's the major like transactional awareness that I wanted to bring to you, but the June 30th single, which is the most recent one that I sent out to you.
So that would also, excuse me for interrupting, that would also help our laddering as well, so we have three due in 2019 as opposed to two. Mm-hmm. So we got a little out of sync there, but...
We're going to shoot for early 2022.
Okay.
That's early February-ish, January is when I'm shooting to... get that one to be matured, so that go for a 5-year, just to fill the laddering strategy, correct?
And then we have a couple of long-term, medium-term notes.
18, we really don't have too much come and due.
Up above in the medium-term notes, we have
the one,
a couple.
Right?
We have, I think, U.S. Okay. Well, they're spread out every 6 months, so that's not bad.
Okay.
So we're pretty well holding to that laddering for liquidity purposes.
For the most part, there was a time frame where... the rates were so poor that we were willing to push the years.
And they call them too sometimes.
Right.
So that message.
Right. Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. So on the June 30th statement, we have, as you can see, $5.4 million, and that is the largest we've had ever. And mainly that's because we have postponed some of our major projects that are actually occurring right now. So our Taft Street, which is $750,000, is going on right now. Our sewer is a 2-year, and that one's going on. We have our federal FEMA project right now that will hopefully start getting underway in the next couple months. We're out to bid on that right now, getting our RFPs back for the disaster that we had. So we have a lot of large projects coming up that in the next, I would say, 6 months, we're going to be seeing that balance go way down.
Are we going to need those two CDs to cover?
No, we still have, I mean, cash flow wise, I still have projected that we should be fine. But just you're not going to see $5 million there.
Okay.
We're going to go back to the $3 million-ish, which is more of our regular inflow.
So, do you take it out of the Orange County Investment Pool?
Yes, and Life. Yeah, those. We try and pull anything. Those can be pulled out within a day. The money mark or Cal Trust can be pulled out within 30 days, or every month, once a month is what they allow. But we try and do all liquidity through that, and then our main goal is for the long term investments is to equal our general fund reserve. So that's 1.5 million right now. So if you add up our long term investments between the CDs and medium term notes, it's 1.5. So that's the money that 4/5 of our council has to release in order for it to be used, so that money is set aside. Yeah,
4/5 vote of the council to get that money spent.
So that was the philosophy behind, you know, pushing those out further, because most likely we won't. Our goal is not to touch them.
So from a city's perspective, we've got about half our money in short-term investments now. 53% is
we,
the
we
2.7
do
cash.
as of right now.
Yeah. Along with some,
but that like I said, that will go back down to the 30-40% range once we start actually paying our contractors. So that's kind of an overview of where we're at right now. Does anybody have any questions or?
The monthly cash analysis is kind of interesting to me. That you continue to build up the city and the council, continue to build up the cash balances, which are probably the highest, didn't look directly, but probably June was the highest it's been in 10 years.
Yep.
I think you might have a mathematical error.
I think I do too.
Because 5.6 million cannot be the annual average when the highest number on the whole column is only 5.4.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
So we'll assume the 5.4, 5.5. So in May, we'll assume that number is correct.
The May number looks, yeah. It's just the
anyway, we're 5.5. We started
right.
A million and a half or two in 2007, so can't be inflation. Well, thanks. Appreciate the prudent management. So what's the city going to do then? Are you going to spend this money now? Or?
Well, we have several major capital projects this year, higher than I think it's ever been, about $2.7 million in capital projects, which you talked about some. Another one is our road repair, about
right.
$860,000.
Yes.
That'll probably be more in the latter half of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's in addition to the 2.7?
No, that's part of the 2.7. Yeah. It's that plus she talked about
FEMA.
Yeah, the FEMA, right, FEMA, the FEMA one, along with the sewer project.
It's a storm drain, actually.
Storm drain, yeah, storm drain. That's
storm
what
drain.
That's what I was trying to think of, storm drain.
I can't remember words when you need them.
Yeah.
So Michelle's got the cash flow pretty well planned if you look at our balances at this point compared to what the yours are going to spend.
Right.
Or where you're going to spend for the city.
On behalf city.
But normally we don't have anywhere near that, probably less than $500,000 most years.
Right, for major capital projects, correct. Right, this is a big year. There's and as we mentioned, that not postponed, but just the straddling of the TAF project, which was budgeted for 2016-17, actually just started. So it's in July. That $750,000 is going to be expended this month.
As another historical note, clear back to my friend Mr. Domer, I remember having discussions where he suddenly discovered that by going on an every other year basis, big sends one year, little one the next, he could get much better buys out of the contractors.
Economy scale, yeah.
And he was doing much more into the economies of scale. So recently it has tended to do this up and down every 2 years. And this is an up year.
Michelle, we're going to have to front the FEMA, the total FEMA bill.
We do. We're in a good position. We have, FEMA does, there's like five categories.
Right.
And our first two categories are already pushed through. And based on our meeting the other day, we're supposed to get our money hopefully sometime in September. For that, which is a small amount, it's maybe 100,000-ish.
So we're going to have to fund extra money, more than the 2.7, probably another 300,000 maybe, up front temporarily until we get reimbursement?
Yes, however, this project is a long project. We have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to make sure it's federally blessed, if you will, so we can get all the money possible. So in essence, we're thinking about the project being maybe around the $700,000 range. We are hoping to only pay 6% of that out of the city's coffers. You know, like.
But we have to come up with the $700,000.
In the front end, we do.
Now that's not included. That extra money is not included. The 2.7.
It is.
Oh, okay. So
we're due for reimbursement.
Right.
Yes.
A big chunk. All right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, both for that and for Taft also.
Isn't Taft is $350,000 right. Federal grant, right? So half
okay.
of it.
All right.
That's the work they're doing on Taft now?
Yeah, that's one. So we do for reimbursement for price, quite a
all
bit
right.
of that.
Dennis, I noticed you're up for. Oh, any questions on the activity balances, transactions, portfolio balances? If not, Dennis, I noticed they have you down for investment performance, city treasurer.
Yes,
okay.
Once every 6 months, I go through a little exercise, and it's summarized on pages 8 and 9. And the first thing I noticed is a mistake. This figures 3:11:30. It's really 3:05:31, what I do with them. What I have done is over the, since we started this experiment now back in 2010, going, for those who don't know, we actually had a foray into CDs once before, but it was managed in a much different manner and was not at all successful. This one was started under when Mr. Nelson was still in charge of the IAC, and he introduced us to a lady, what's her name?
Sandra
from up in Cal Poly.
San Luis Obispo. San Luis Obispo.
So in San Luis Obispo, which is a great city, I just got back from there last month and watched my oldest grandson graduate. Let him go to work for Apple next month. I'll get my bragging in.
Here we go.
That's awesome.
Anyhow, what we've done is I have maintained a list on my computer of all the interest rates that both LAIF and OCIP has offered over those periods of time. I put down what the money, when the money was invested, it's usually 100,000 was started to get up into higher numbers now, and just run it. What would the interest we would get had we used LAIF and OCIP? Then I can go back in and go through the paperwork and find out what actual interest we collected. And I always, there's eventually the numbers is the real number that the check is. And then there's a little leftover for what's on the books that doesn't get there to get to the right date. And you add those up, and that's how much money we have earned, and then the differences are shown. And this is put up here in two pages. One is the old events, because they don't change. What's on this first page is never going to change. It's going to get more old ones added to it, so it will change. And then the current ones are over here on the second page. As it turns out, we had no change in investments in the last 6 months. So these two pages are essentially, this one has not changed. Anyhow, the total comes out to, we've gained
108,000.
108,000 against OCIP or 116,000 against
LAIF.
LAIF. And so for those who have been and on the IAC, that's how much money you guys have earned for the city.
So it's another way to track when, in a period of low interest rates, how can we do better? And we said by laddering, by matching funds, short, medium, and long-term needs to also the investment level. It's nothing that we did smarter than OICP or LAIF, but we just said we'll invest in longer-term funds, get longer, better rates. Relatively better rates. So if we assume as the rates go up, then the dollars will get larger because the margins will get larger. Yeah. Maybe one day somebody can predict.
Interesting thing is to go back, way back in history, and I've not really run the numbers, is that had we maintained this situation, there were a couple of times before where LAIF started back up and OCIP started back up, and again we would have been wise to have sold the CD. And I think part of this is why the other one didn't work out quite so well. I think we caught that when LAIF and OCIP were on an uptrend. And they actually then start to outperform if you can't pull out. But that's one of the reasons why I always, in the back of my mind, and never had to do it, look into what it costs to get out. Because there's still a chance that someday, I don't know what it'll do. I don't think the current administration is going to cause this, but someday OCIP and will start up, and we may wish to buy ourselves out of our CDs and go back in there. Now that's hard to believe, but I think it's mathematically possible.
Great, thank you very much, Dennis. Appreciate that. Current workload or current finance director? I don't know what that is. Current finance director workload, background, and mitigation. Stephen or Michelle, you want to talk about this?
No, this is just in relation to PARS and what we're trying to get some more additional help for this, because we know that our guidelines for pushing into the Section 115 trust is, we know in the end it'll be better for the city, we'll earn more interest, it'll pay down our obligations sooner. However, I am part-time, and I do have a significant workload right now. And the front-end work of setting up the Section 115 Trust and doing some of the research is where I'm going to need some help. So we just wanted to put that out there, not to... I'm totally on board with assisting and helping out. I just do not have the time right now to... We've got a lot going on.
So we'll lead in and discuss that in E at 8:35. So that's the background of why we're kind of shifting gears a little bit and saying, can we help over this hump to get it going? Let me shift a little bit even more. The investment policy was brought to the council. Interesting meeting. If you didn't listen to it on the recording that Michelle referenced coming out. Steve or Michelle, you want to talk about that meeting or what came out of the results of what came out of that meeting?
Right. It was mainly a council member had some questions and wanted to be, you know, some clarifications and whatnot. And so the draft that you have before you is all of your original input plus the council member's input. And from here, just anything that you guys have to give back. Obviously, one of the obvious biggest thing was to put back in the glossary. And that's mainly for layman's terms, just for everybody to, you know, be able to read it and have one document that's all-inclusive. So that's the biggest change. But there's some, you know, wording, and has everybody had a chance to look at it?
Or, yes.
Yes, does anybody have anything that they want to start discussing, or do you want to go through each one? I don't know.
I'd like to go through the exceptions if we could, the ones that people went through.
Yes.
Have some exception with.
Yes.
I think the difference I saw from the past is the councilman decided to go through it in detail.
Yes.
And decided then to use council time to discuss each and every item in detail. I would hope that we could find a way in the future to involve the council, those people are going to go through in detail, that we could involve them earlier on as kind of committee work to go through and get their understanding as opposed to coming at the end. It was... luckily, Lynn was not there, but it was not polite, quite frankly, to Lynn's work and what had been done at that point that they decided to do. And several members of the city said, said, why are we discussing such nits? And it was of interest to me because we're involved in it, but it was, to the average citizen, fairly mundane. So hopefully we can improve that process a little bit further, and then maybe even... And I've got a potential proposal after we get through going through the strategy to maybe that, since the state doesn't require this to be done annually anymore in the code, maybe we could do this on a biannual or triannual, if I'm using those terms right, basis, because it doesn't. And the councilman was also under the opinion that we had to have it done by the time of the budget document.
Right.
It got confused. So felt time constrained that I've got to do it now and get this right. And also read it from a perspective of, you guys know what these terms mean, but we don't. Put the glossary back in. And that was one of the bigger ones. What are the other couple ones? Highlight a couple of the more big ones.
I think to have it come earlier, we're going to start reviewing it at our January meeting. So if we review it at our January meeting, any questions, concerns, we can bring up to, we can do a draft to council. February or March, and then if they have revisions, then we can bring it back to the April meeting of the IAC, and then the final can be them.
I like your suggestion of doing it only once every 2 years.
Yeah, I actually prefer every three.
Well, yeah, I say two because every two you have basically new council. You've gone through the election cycle, and therefore, in theory at least, and if you do it particularly in the first year, that the...
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a moment. Yeah, Let's get through the policy first, because we're constrained with time here.
Okay, so I think that was on page one, that was the change to have it brought to council prior to April is her goal.
I just want to speak up. The majority of the council did not speak up in any, they were, you know, by committee, they all worked through it, et cetera. So two committee members are obviously on the council and were spoke up. The only issue, I mean, the issue of the glossary was a debated issue and a vote that went in here, I think, was sort of, you know, so that wasn't a big deal. So it wasn't a surprise there, that issue. But in general, I just want to speak up. It was one council person that had issues, not the majority. So, Bill, I think that's important. So the majority of the council was deferential to this committee and had worked through the committee process. It's the one, and I that was the one anomaly, and I don't mean to, I just wanted to point that out. I did talk to that councilwoman and indicated to her that, you know, there is a committee process, and that's what it's intended to do, to bring their recommendations forward. But I wanted to make it clear for purposes of this that it was not the whole council that had an exception here, and they, in the comments that were made by that councilwoman, were not even addressed by the rest of the council that day.
Right.
So it was simply her bringing up her items, some of which we've tried to bring here forward, but some of which are just her comments. So I want to make that real clear, that this wasn't direction from the whole council. Okay.
Well, you know, Bob and I were fine with it since we voted for it in the committee here. You know, we didn't have a problem with it. You know, the glossary thing, I would have preferred it's in there, but we had a vote here and voted not to put it in. So I go with the committee recommendation. That's why we have committee.
Yeah.
I as Bill said, I thought it was rude the way she did it in the meeting, particularly since our council member Ms. Doty spent quite some time on going through this. I thought it was rather rude to sit there and nitpick it in public. You know, if you have an issue with this, she could have brought it up with staff initially before the meeting. And if staff felt it didn't need to bring it back to committee, we could have done that and not have all that exposed in the public.
So no matter how we figure out to do that process, whether we do it through the Budget Finance Committee or we do it one-on-one with the individual members to say, here's the draft, or you, and some people say, I'm fine with it.
Right.
Other people say, I want to go through it in detail.
Right.
Or other ones, I want to change. I think we need to do that in advance of the council meeting so we don't burden the citizens with the detailed comments that were in there. The good news is people were, they were interested and read it, yeah. So in some years that hasn't happened.
Right.
I just wanted to make it clear that when it says council revisions, the council didn't make any revisions, nor did they direct that any revisions be made. These are simply the comments of one council person, and they're reflected. So we brought it back to the committee so that you would have a chance to see the input. But I wanted
and it's
to
really for discussion purposes.
Thank you.
Here, right?
That's
right.
All I wanted
correct,
to clarify
right,
that.
Right.
The council was not expressing any dissatisfaction or
right.
any dissension. It was simply, we're bringing these back. They were raised. End of story. You guys decide what you want to do.
And a lot of it was clarification. I think on page 12, it was we talked about that an investment shouldn't exceed, and at one point we said eligible investment, and another point we said surplus monies. So it was like, okay, a uniform title. So, I mean, kind of clean up, you know, so it wasn't a large deal. But is there anything that anybody had an issue with of the comments that maybe we shouldn't put in, or that you feel that is not...
So Michelle and I, the version you have reflects all incorporation of all the changes that this committee made already in there, assumed that they were approved, with only identification of the comments that were made by the one council person. Those are the things that are identified separately here in red. So just for purposes of going through it, it doesn't change anything you guys have already approved. Question is, what do we do with the comments in red?
Right, because even again, page 13 is when it's talking about the reporting, adding on a quarterly basis the treasurer's reports for the preceding 3 months is presented to the investment committee, investment advisory committee for review. Previously, it didn't state that. It said that we sent the treasurer's report to you monthly. You know, it's just semantic. Yes, we send it to you on a quarterly basis. However, if you went to a council meeting or you read our agendas, you see it. So it was just kind of like clarifying, you know, where that information is coming from. So the other change is in section 18. Which I know Dennis has a few.
Page 18?
Page 14, sorry. 14. Section 18.
Section 18. Okay. To me, section 18 currently written is incoherent. It needs to be rewritten. No offense, I don't know who wrote it. I obviously didn't read it for the original comments, or I would have made that comment before, so it's my fault too. I only suggested to Michelle that for consideration, rather than diddle around with it right now, we all come to sort of an agreement that we're probably not going to do this in the next year, and so we don't need to worry about it and let it go. And just note for the record that if we really ever get into this form of investment, and I don't think the city has any plans to come back and ask the city to invest in their own things. I think it's in here for dressing more than anything else.
Yeah, I think there's a leftover from Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. And
I would say I have it at all, but in a later discussion, understand
that it's not going to affect us, and put a little note that next year when the rewriting comes, give a couple of those who like to rewrite, although there's one council person that I don't think I'd suggest that we give that opportunity to, and rewrite it so it comes out a little clearer. Now, I don't know, maybe other people can read it and understand it, but I started through it, I started to try to rewrite it, and I thought,
Yeah, this is part of our overkill a little bit. I mean, reverse repos are in there, it's always in my issue. Like, we're not going to do reverse repos, and people who have done them have paid with that. But if you're Anaheim, you have some more sophisticated kind of stuff.
Yeah, you're right, because if you've ever seen that original Anaheim.
Right. So we've reduced it some. I would say either that's a good suggestion, Dennis, that we leave it in there and then have a fuller discussion to get it out. I'm very interested in this quarterly committee not getting tied up with administrative internal bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is the wrong word, but administrivia to do. We could take the whole four meetings and talk about this policy statement.
Yes, right.
Maybe we should have stayed with two or three pages like we had before, but and then when it goes to the council, and if certain council members want to bore deep on it, I understand that, but that takes their time and our time, so I would say on 1.1, where it says the investment policy shall be reviewed on an annual basis, I would say that we should introduce that now and put a different word in there than annual.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I actually think because it's a strategy, many times in long-term strategy, you guys can speak to this as well as I, we often do those every 4 years or every 5 years to do long-term strategy. So to do a policy statement seems to me triennial would be fine, or triennial. I never quite remember what's A or an E. So that's what I would suggest, but I'm open to biannual anything to get it out. So even talking about doing this again next year, and even the comments that we would submit this every May or whatever, occur at the
May-April
meeting on the appropriate year. I'd rather not have to do this every April.
Because we're not going to change our policy. I mean, you know, our strategy. I mean, so... You know, all this is just covers the what ifs.
It's just lots of words. Reviewed. Yeah.
And what's the worst case? Okay, you do it every 3 years, and then something comes up that you want to make a change.
You need a methodology. For instance, Dennis gets really upset about Section 18 because then I should have the ability to say, I think you should change it to this and not go through this whole thing. Just send it to council. Council will look at it and say, yeah, we agree with that, and then it gets changed. And so as long as you can do it that way, and at least that gets council down to where they only have to look at one change and not suffer through comment on the whole damn thing.
We've already looked at this. It's a long-term strategy. There's no reason to look at it more than once every 3 years.
And my other opinion is, the reason I'm not in love with 18 is when it originally came from Anaheim, we did what most humans did. You start at the beginning, and by the time you get to sections 13, 14, you're getting tired, and you're going to get a lot sloppier. And so the updates at the very end are going to come a long time later. So I personally, I said two, but four a you do need, well, three. I think you do need to expose it to each.
Well, have them read it. It's part of the orientation packet.
Yeah.
Our new councilman, read it, and then they come to us and talk to them. I'm trying to get it out of the public review sector to go ahead and we're working on a committee.
Even at 4 years, every council person would get one shot at it somewhere along the line.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you can't predict. I mean, some council people that were going off, one person in particular, wanted to make sure that we never did X, like float our own securities, and therefore wanted to insert that in here. So everybody has their own issue. They're elected, so that's fine. But I'd like to deal with it on a committee basis, quite frankly. Anyway, so I would, I'll make a motion that we would have it reviewed on a triennial basis or as needed by the City Treasurer and Investment Advisory Committee in 1.1 on page 1.
And I'll second that.
Discussion?
Somebody seconded it.
Yeah, we seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Other items? So I guess what Steve is asking is the ones that are shown here were one of the council members' strong opinions and are here for discussion, to use your words there. And I have no problems on page 12 with changing, adding the word portfolio instead of surplus monies to make it consistent. Others have different. And page 13 just says what's happening today, that Dennis is presenting these treasury reports to us on a quarterly basis.
Right.
Done, you're still going to get monthly. Three separate reports bundled together in a package every.
So on 17, you'd make a change.
What's that?
You'd make the change on 17, policy review, on section 17.
Right, it'd have to be changed.
You want to make that consistent then.
Right.
Yes, yes, that's right correct. So on page 14 in item section 17.
Right.
He's pointing out that that's consistent. And we took out that. Councilman took out mayor and made it city council. In section 18 on page 14, certain types of certificates or securities may be made pursuant to this section unless the treasurer, city council, or city manager certifies in writing it's in the best interest of the city.
You have to be unanimous on the city council support of it?
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
Simple majority.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Simple majority.
Simple majority, yeah. Okay.
It says or. Yeah.
3-5. Or. Okay. 203, something less than just a simple majority.
And so in section 2 there at the bottom, it talks about upon approval of the city council, which would be the simple majority. And then,
Bill, under
yes, sir.
17-0, wouldn't you have to change this also to be on a three-year
right.
basis?
Yeah, no, that's the consistency.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's what Joe was talking about, I think.
Okay.
And then section, let's see, on page 15 in section 3 of 18-0. Oh, we said we would talk about that later. I think this is a typo. It says the city manager are, but we deleted the things that have the authorized.
What page?
Go ahead.
The city manager.
Page 15, section 18, section 3. It's. I think there's a hanging or there that didn't get deleted. Yeah. Not a hanging Chad, but a hanging or. And then vacant didn't get the sign. Speaking for Lynn, I think when she did a precursor on the glossary, she said, this glossary is really out of date and needs to be updated. So why don't we just delete it because our glossary now is Google. And this individual didn't buy that the Google was a glossary, that it was helpful to have manual, which I happen to agree with on one of the points I did agree with. Nice to have the glossary right at hand. With that, someone who knows the terms real well says, well, wait a minute, these terms are out of date. Of course they're out of date. So we'll get that next time around, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah.
And then all the exhibits. we already went through discussion of whether we delete those or not. We kept them in. With that, do I hear a motion to adopt this one as
make a motion.
As designated?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Dan, motion, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thanks for going through that.
So now what happens?
Yeah.
I take it back to council this Tuesday.
Tuesday it'll come back to the full council.
Like this, for, well, with our revisions.
With the revisions that you incorporated.
Okay. All right, so hopefully, I mean, this is just a question, because I don't know the politics here, but this three-year comment that we just put in there, should that be vetted so it doesn't end up in some discussion? So it doesn't end up some big discussion in front of the public or something.
I mean, they see, and appropriately, we're just advisory, so we advise that in. They want to change it, they just can change it. Say, no, we want it to come back every year, we want to come back every 5 years, whatever. It's their decision, right? And then the staff makes it happen.
It'll be our recommendation, and obviously the committee has, you know, agreed. But again, I can't guarantee it won't be a discussion at the
actual
council meeting
itself.
Because the councilmen
just voted to.
I understand.
You want my opinion?
Even if I didn't, I know you're going to give it to me.
The two representatives of the IAC can do what they want to do when it's presented. They're the ones who are supposed to report back to the council what's happened.
Yeah.
So this is totally up to them.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
it's not totally up to us. The council has to vote on it.
Well, yeah. And Bill can come report something different, but he at times has demonstrated the ability to keep his mouth shut when it's possible. It's really
we were winning at some of the points, and then they say, "You have any discussions?" No. I keep winning. Why should I screw this up?
There's no place for levity in places like this. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're about 10 minutes behind on Section E. Oh, so we've done Section D. Uh-huh. 5D. 5E deals with the Section 115 trust update. The City Council's recommendations were us for to proceed and staff to proceed investigation of this. 5-0. So that was a council unified opinion. And she sent out, Michelle sent out the next steps and intended approach. We thought we might break up into two subcommittees, if we would, to get the work done to help Michelle. And we see the work as being the setup work to get to Section 115 trust. You might be able to speak. You've done some of this before. It's a setup work, but actually when we get it going, because we're outsourcing this to service providers and investment advisors, it ought to be fairly straightforward because it's also long-term. It's also diversified, and we set up the strategies right, we'll go ahead. So with that, you have the plan in your packet. You have the plan, is that in the packet?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a one page of the plan, which looks like this, called Section 115 Trust Plan, interesting enough. And I took, to try to save some time with this, I took, being an old project manager at heart for some Anderson partner, I took it and put it into a work plan so that we could actually make it into an action orientation issue too, and maybe we could use our time to do that. We had it broken up into two committees. Let me pass these around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. This is not been vetted. This was just something that I did. If it works, it's fine. So with that, you'll see a subcommittee A, and then in bold, a subcommittee.
Show.
Yes. Thank you.
A subcommittee B, in bold, just to kind of keep it apart. The first subcommittee actually deals with, as you see bolded down below, the subcommittee A deals with drafting the outline and investment policy statement. I think this is what Joe brought up last meeting or meeting before. You said, well, what about Section 15? That's not quite part of the strategy. It also, but prior to that, it says we need to pick a service provider. We need to pick the plan administrator, and we need to meet with legal, not we, the subcommittee needs to get legal involved to determine the legal steps for the trust, even though the service provider has a plan for that. And then the types of issues we need to have policy and procedures for are kind of the purpose and objectives, the funding disbursement schedule, the authorizations and limitations, the amount of the funding, and the frequency of deposits, and then the annual review of the investment performance by the IHC. And council, I don't know if that's saying council is correct. I assume it should be. Council should see this annually at least.
Yes.
If not quarterly.
Oh, yes.
And then on the second page, we saw that we could get this done before the next, after our next meeting, the council meeting after our next meeting. So our next meeting is in October. That could be presented to council of November about who is the service provider, recommended service provider would be, and what the strategy would be for the portfolio. So that meant that we'd probably need some checkpoints in between. We've arbitrarily put down monthly checkpoints. It can be it can be other than that, but the subcommittee could decide that. Let me come back to that one and go through the next one so you see the overview. So the other one that is bolded on top, subcommittee B, deals with setting some guidelines and investment decisions after the service provider has been selected or recommended. So by us. And that would be setting the decision. It's really a decisioning committee. What is going to be your risk tolerance? It's going to be conservative, moderate, aggressive. There are five variations in the PARS, and there are three variations in CalPERS. Setting the discount rate, determining whether we want active or passive management of the portfolio, and listing prohibited investments, and how often...
Are we going to follow the investment of guidelines or city guidelines for the prohibited investments?
I'm sorry, say again?
For prohibited investments, are we going to follow the guidelines, the city guidelines?
In the investment policy?
Yeah.
That plus the service provider has some as well for consideration. So most of these are cafeteria selections versus starting with a blank piece of paper. Yeah. So that's always easier for a committee to deal with.
I was thinking... One of the pitches that some of the people have made for these trusts was that you were allowed to get in investments that aren't above and beyond.
Yes. Right.
You're going to live with that, right, or not?
What's that?
That they can go above and beyond what's on the list of prohibited.
Yes.
For the state.
Policy prohibits, this trust allows investment in.
Yeah, correct.
But are we going to stick to our...
Well, that's what we got to look at.
Okay.
That's probably the biggest decision
Okay.
No, the advantage, of course, doing the trust is you're not living under state rules that you don't have to. And the rationale for that is that you're going for longer-term 20-year investments and you're diversified.
Right.
So over the short term, sometimes the Section 115 doesn't make much sense.
Right.
Because you have minor blips or bigger blips. I put in there, we might want to consider for communications with us back testing those results. So after we pick a risk tolerance and a discount rate, accurate, passive, prohibited, they have their track record. So you could back test by taking what we had and said if we had that, we would have earned X. May not be what happens because it's a point in time, but it's a way to give some dollar amount to it to people who don't pick up the logic. With that, I think we need to document our decision logic of that and maybe even do a risk matrix of what the potential downsides and mitigations could be. So we've covered that issue and then discussed that with our committee and then check. So those are the two subcommittees. So a little different for us. We'd like to have everyone involved and chair or be a member of a subcommittee and get that work done outside that to be proficient. And then maybe we might have a special meeting between now and October which could be the hardest challenge we have, to meet once, and that's often happened with the Investment Advisory Committee before, where we have one special meeting a year. I think this begs for that. So
that
when we
both,
get to
both subcommittees would meet together.
The subcommittees become the committee, but it's a way to report back. So we're and so if you're not on that particular subcommittee and you have some, you want some input on that, it's a good time to review and discuss. Even better, it's a good time to volunteer ahead of that to get on the subcommittee. So with that, let's go around the room a little bit. Preferences about what you'd like to be involved with here? Maybe we start with that way. I should open up. You'd mentioned last meeting, and we weren't able to get on your schedule to get around to council members, that you'd had some experience with some of this as
right.
well.
In higher education, we've done a number of trusts to address all kinds of issues.
Expand on that a little bit for us in terms of procedurally the kinds of things that you
We've got a great list. I mean, Pardon? You have a very good list. So I can't suggest a better list.
Okay.
To note that everything that, in my experience, we went through in order to be able to set up trusts seems to be addressed here. So great job. You know, but I was involved in setting up two national trusts, one for retirement and one for health plan subsidies.
Okay.
And worked with a group of business officers, you know, across the country in order to set it all up for the committee, very much like this one. So you called out all the key points, and I'd be glad to help.
Given your schedule, would you like to be the chair so you could set the dates and then we'll work those dates are on your schedule?
Pressure's on.
I'd be glad to chair. And the one where probably I was most directly involved is the A committee, the committee that selects the provider.
Okay.
And documents the findings and basically establishes the entity.
Right.
That's the one that I have the most
experience with. Set up.
So I'd be glad to do that.
So we have some background material along that. We have, there's actually a workshop. This last one was August 25th. The next one is, I brought the document in my stuff here. The next one, this is CalPERS. This is the CalPERS workshop. It's a 2-hour workshop, and I went to that regrettably. Everybody else's schedule didn't work. It was kind of generic, but they had all kinds of nice brochures and nice slides that come along with it as well. So you can go either deep by looking at this material that way, or you can actually go, or you and others can go to the slides. They also had documents like PARS did with their strategy. They have three strategies, strategy 1, 2, and 3, which they don't put names on, but they're both basically a conservative to aggressive. So that material is there. And I wouldn't want to bias the conversation, but I do have, didn't know we were, earlier on out of that, I kind of did a plus minus for CalPERS and PERS and PARS. And I think bottom line of it, the CalPERS suffers from being CalPERS, even though they make a big strategy that we're not that CalPERS. We answer your calls within 24 hours. Which I thought was kind of a low hurdle, but that would be higher than the other one, I guess. And two, they don't have a profit motive, so it's a non. So the fees are based on a non-profit basis, whereas PARS has to put a profit, small profit margin in. And they didn't have quite the flexibility. The negative would be they didn't have quite the flexibility that that PARS does. And professional management, I'll let that go. It seemed to be a little shaded. They didn't come off quite as professionally astute as PARS. That's a one person time, point in time. But we talked about this. We think we probably need to have a little pro con if we're going to go through a section of that and document it.
Okay.
It's very similar to stuff you've done before.
Just so that we can, we were talking about like streamlining it to council. Versus just saying, we're going to go with PARS. This is
right.
The only one we want to talk about. Just say the reason why is because when we looked at PERS, you know, A, B, and C, and then we looked at PARS, A, B, and C, you know, compare them, like, just succinctly so we can, I mean, we have, like, a general idea of why we don't want to go with PERS.
We do have the memo that the Mesa Water District wrote. who was also the mayor of Lake Forest, who's also, and they both selected PARs, but they had a little staff memo on a page or two that kind of described it.
Well, I'd be happy to also volunteer on the same committee.
So talk to him. He's the chair of that. Is that acceptable to you?
That's great.
I have to leave. I have to get to my wife for a doctor's.
We know how to spell your name, so we'll put you on one of these.
Well, okay. I was just saying, I'll be on the AIDA committee. Everybody now seems to have a very good idea of whether I'm worth anything or whether I do have more history now that Jim Ryans has died. I got more history with this thing than anybody. But
well, whatever. Congratulations on being reappointed treasurer.
Yeah,
for your 18th year.
Thank you. I don't know if that's good or bad.
You overcame all that competition.
Okay. So the other one, Subcommittee B, that is makes the decisioning on risk tolerance and accurate passive management. Discount rates, that type of thing, after the after Subcommittee A has picked out the recommended service provider plan administrator. So who would like to be on this committee?
I'll be on the committee.
Okay. I'll be glad to lead it if we want.
Okay.
If no one else wants to.
You didn't say you wanted to be the chair?
No. Might have interrupted my golf game.
Okay, Ellen, we have, so Joe, that's the citizens part of it, and Dennis can be anywhere, we'll decide where to put him, and Lynn needs to be on something, so we talked about her.
Investment policy, so committee, we were thinking she might be a good fit for the committee A. Right, draft outline of investment policy.
So if you wanted, Lynn seems to, you know her as well as we, but she seems to like to write the policy, so that might be a good place for, because you have in that not only the selection and criteria, but also the drafting of the policy. Is that, are you interested in that? You kind of brought it up last time.
No, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why don't we put Lynn on that then? It doesn't provide any conflict for you, does it, from your Chapman?
No. Lynn is a member of the faculty, as you all know, but not a member of the administration. So.
Ah. And emeritus of that, right?
Yeah, oh, now she is. Yeah, still doing some teaching, though. It's my understanding.
So, subject to her acceptance of that, why don't we provide that? And why don't you put Dennis on Subcommittee B?
Okay.
Because it's risk tolerance is one that he's very interested in. So
absolutely.
Got to give a good balance.
If you want me and Bob on the committee, I'll take Committee A.
And I'll
be great. But
okay. If he's on A, I'll take B then.
Okay, great.
good.
I think A is loaded up here. Great. Bob. And great. Okay, so if that work plan works, I'll send you that electronically as well.
That'd be great.
And then you can chop it up the way you need it. It was a starter version, so that's all we really had.
Okay.
So that kind of covers the timelines and tasks. Do you have any questions on the timeline? So as you, it takes a little bit of thinking, so as you think about that as a committee or as individuals, how can we best, as a subcommittee, can we work as subcommittees without having public meetings and that type of thing?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yes. Right? CEO, I mean.
Well, if you make them ad hoc committees.
Yes, they're ad hoc committees. They can
committees. These are ad hoc committees.
Yes.
These are not standing committees.
Absolutely not.
So you don't have, they don't have
so
to.
So you have the minutes show that these are ad hoc committees.
I will make it bold.
And then you can do normal things that people do of meet or have
you can
phone conversations.
You can do it at half an hour if you want to.
There you go.
These won't be secret meetings, right?
Regrettably, we don't have a budget for happy hour meetings, however. I can personally fund some of those.
I think that just anything that comes out of the ad hoc committee is nothing more. It's advisory. It's
right.
Not.
That's right.
It would have to be voted by the full committee here.
And that's what we were talking about, is having a special meeting, having the subcommittees come back to this committee and say, hey, this is what we found, this is what we're going.
So when we have a special meeting, we need to give, what, 30 days or 2 weeks notice?
No, 72 hours.
72 hours.
We would have to publish anything, like, so if they were going to, the ad hoc was going to come forward with recommendations, we would have to have that public and printed 72 hours in advance, so anybody could look at it technically.
So like reading Morlock's emails like the state legislator does, where they tell you on Friday night that they're going to have a bill and they publish it in secret somewhere on the weekend, and then Monday they haven't read it.
No, actually, the 72 hours in advance, what the action you would be taking is published. And so, you know, it's technically available for anybody.
So it sounds like we can operate as a subcommittee and then...
Yeah, you just basically bring forward what you want to do in advance and we'll make sure it's agendized.
So August and September could be like work months, right? Like to getting the information and then maybe shoot for a special meeting in October? Does that sound reasonable?
Well, we have a regular meeting in October.
No, we have a regular meeting. We do? Is that that's right.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So I was thinking more we might be far enough, probably not going to get too far along in August. It's July right now. So... have July, half of July and August, that perhaps by the middle of September we might have some progress that we could talk about.
Why don't we, my suggestion is we check in with the chairs in August and see how you're doing.
Okay.
If you're comfortable, we can pull something together. If not, let's just wait.
How's your long range schedule? You got major outs?
I'm here, so
okay.
Just, you know, busy as well.
Okay.
Like we all are.
Okay. So Michelle, why don't you coordinate that for us, if you would, and then we'll get on everybody's schedule. And it'd be nicer to do that, even though we won't have data in that, it'd be nicer to have that scheduled in advance so we could get on people's schedules, which is the important thing.
Right.
And then we'll shoot for deadlines to make things happen anyway. So. Okay.
And is Wednesday mornings the best? Is that what people were saying?
It depends on what week it is.
What is? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We'll put out a date and let you guys.
Yeah, why don't we do it? That just gives us a pattern.
Is this going to be enough help?
Pardon?
Will the subcommittees be enough help? You mentioned earlier that the impetus for doing this is to make sure that Michelle has enough help to get that thing going.
Yeah, I think if we do the things on the work plan to that, and I don't know, Michelle, where do you want to? You want to attend the subcommittees?
Yeah, you know what? I will do. I was going to send out an email to everybody. Just if there's a meeting that I can attend, I would like to attend just so I can be in. You know, be a part of it. I just don't have the time to do all the legwork.
Okay.
So
we'll get you to schedule the subcommittee meetings so you know.
Yes.
Informal
yes.
or formal.
Yes.
And then you can choose to attend.
And I'll create a group.
Also, introductions, after we do the research, introductions to service providers, we need to get him involved on that.
To Dennis, yeah.
Dennis and also...
Miguel. I don't
know. Yeah. So what I did with CalPERS, I attended it. I did not sign any email list or follow-up
list. Sure, you didn't.
However, she does read our hello? She does read our minutes, I think. Mm-hmm. And, so corresponds by email to Michelle and I. That's all I'll say about that. So we'll do that. And I can, if this is my only copy, if we could make a copy of this for him, that would be helpful. Any other questions? So your answer, I think, is that would be enough work if we got that done. That would offload enough to get the decision.
Okay. Good. Well, I think importantly, it's not just offload; it's get expertise that you guys have, and you bring perspectives that are valuable to us.
Agreed.
So it's not just us narrow-mindedly walking down a tunnel, but you guys get some input, some experience, and some advice. Which is very much appreciated.
I think a little bit of the difference is instead of Michelle having to do the work and we're us providing the advice in a review mode, we're doing a little bit of work. And
then
that. So we also need, we tried to do the subcommittee so we'd have a review function so the people not on that subcommittee would be the review function. Always unhealthy not to have a review function get so close into the work that we're not there. So we'll see how that works out. And I think not a real heavy load for the subcommittees. It's really getting smart and making some decisions and just getting it down. Other than the writing, then picks up to do the writing and the policy, it takes a little bit of work. Also, there are other cities that have done this thing, so it's not a new path. So there are other cities that have investment policies that cover Section 115 trust, I'm sure. And there are also service providers who have been involved in that who know the smart guys and the...
I know Tustin, Dennis just told me that Tustin... adopted with parks. Mm-hmm. So I do have their staff report.
Okay. Any comments? Open comments, open issues, concerns? Okay. With that, at 9:07, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michelle, thank you.
And I'm 5 minutes.
Listen, man.
You didn't get that.
Did you?